This is the Fleming Foundation Summer Symposium 2020. Homer, his age, and his legacy. With a lecture by Dr. Charles Yost entitled, Homer and the Byzantines.
At this summer school dedicated to Homer, it's my great pleasure to speak about Byzantium. Those men and women whom modern scholars have termed the Byzantines, but who ever thought of themselves as Romans and only later on as Hellenes. They deserve a special place of honor at any symposium on Homer, if for no other reason than for the fact that without Byzantium, we would not be having this symposium at all. It is salutary for us as we complacently gaze at our shelves packed with handsome presentation volumes of the great books, or thumb our classics in cheap paperback editions, to meditate on by what a slender thread most of these works have come down to us. It was only by the quiet and unrequited labor of the medieval scribes, those anonymous heroes of Western civilization, squinting their eyes and flexing their aching fingers, that we, ungrateful moderns, might taste the fruit of the ancients. Pardon me as I belabor the point I just made, however. Just as the Holy Scriptures did not simply descend from heaven, the works of antiquity have not come down to us unchanged from the pens of Homer or Virgil. Everything we have, and what we have is but a small portion of what was, has only come down to us thanks to the decisions of medieval scribes, many of whom were monks, to copy an ancient work again and again. It goes without saying that this was a complex process, playing out over centuries during which the texts in question would have been altered, and different versions of the text proliferated because of the errors of the scribes or their editorial decisions. But if a work was not copied repeatedly, then that work was lost forever. This is especially true at particularly crucial bottleneck periods resulting from historic upheavals, such as, for instance, the conquest of Constantinople in 1204 by forces of the Fourth Crusade, Latin forces, or the Turkish conquest of Constantinople in 1453, or because of changes in writing technology, such as the change from majuscule to minuscule writing, which is to say the change from writing in all capital letters to writing in lowercase letters. I'll have more to say about that in a little bit. This happened in the 8th century. In the midst of these changes, the scribes only chose to copy these texts insofar as they or their patrons remained interested in the texts in question. Leaving aside the chance discoveries of antiquarians buried in monastic libraries, a text must be read and renewed in every age, or that text will die forever. This is the textual version of the law of the survival of the fittest. The earliest extant and complete manuscripts that we have for the Iliad and the Odyssey go back no earlier than the 10th century AD. During the heroic reign of the Macedonian dynasty in Constantinople, if Justinian in the 6th century tried to make the Roman Empire great again and succeeded for a brief time, it was in this period, in the 9th and the 10th and the 11th centuries, that Byzantium became great. It was in the midst of the rule of the Macedonian dynasty that there was a movement called Encyclopedism by scholars, and this movement was an attempt to collect and anthologize all ancient knowledge. The manuscript of the Iliad is currently held at the Biblioteca Marciana in Venice. It's known as Venetus A. The manuscript of the Odyssey is today found in the Biblioteca Lorenziana in Florence. But I want you to think about this for a minute. The oldest textual witnesses to the Homeric epics, those foundational pillars of the so-called Western canon, were copied out nearly 1,600 years after Homer was supposed to have lived. All subsequent manuscripts of the Iliad and the Odyssey depend upon these 10th century manuscripts. We moderns may trace the Homeric thread back thus far, beyond which we have nothing extant to link us back to Homer, nothing material. We only have conjecture and speculation. And yet, the precarious vicissitudes of textual transmission aside, the Byzantines never forgot.